Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text 21. Word meanings, Bidyate, pierced, Hridaya, heart, Granta, Grantihi, knots, Chidyante, cut to pieces, Sarva, all, Sangshayaha, misgivings, Kshiyante, terminated, Cha, and, Asya, his, Karmani, chain of fruitive actions. Drishte, having seen. Eva, certainly. Atmani, unto the self. Ishvare, dominating. Vidyate ridaya grantish. Chidyante sarvasangshaya. Chiyante chasya karmani, drishtae vatmanishvare, vidyate hridaya granti, chidyante sarvasangshaya, chiyante chasya karmani, drishtae vatmanishvare, vidyate hridaya granti, chidyante sarvasangshaya, chiyante chasya karmani, drishtae vatmanishvare.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Amen. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of action is terminated when one sees the self as master.
No. Sees oneself.
sees oneself as master. Oh, okay. This book is, let's see. Let's see. This is, yeah, different edition. Okay, we'll cover that or uncover that. All right. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Obtaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. As far as the identity of the living entity being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self, and the empiric philosopher believes in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living entity. Beings, living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the supersoul are two different identities, qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of bhakti yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living entity as once cleared off. Living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths which were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifest by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.11, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead taking charge of illuminating the heart of the devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service in transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truths. I was trying to read through it all, but it's so much when you're just reading to follow all the different stages that are going through. And each one of these is like in 7.3 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he says, I'll tell you everything, both numinous, phenomenal and numinous, knowing which there'll be nothing further to be known. So here it's saying that point that devotee can't remain in darkness because Krishna is telling him everything. He comes to know everything of the absolute and relative truths. So that was paraphrasing that verse 7.3. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because the devotee is enlightened by the Supreme Person, the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case of those who speculate on the absolute truth by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge coming down from the authority to the submissive aural receiver who is bona fide by service and surrender. So we know which verse that is. That's the 434 verse of one should approach a bona fide spiritual master and inquire from him submissively. He can reveal the truth to you because he's seen the truth. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him also at the same time. And of course, we could understand that we're already in the darkness. So how can the darkness challenge the sun? How can you be the sun from the position of darkness? The darkness may not believe in the sun because it can never see the sun. As soon as darkness sees the sun, it disappears. So there's an incompatibility there. So one in ignorance cannot challenge Krishna. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such a challenging spirit of an insignificant spark of the whole, a spark subjected to the control of illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma, from Brahma to his sons, and the disciplic succession, in disciplic succession. This process is helped by the Supersoul within such devotees. This is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. The knot is called ahankar, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. As soon as the knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One can see this. One sees his master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruit of action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruitive work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksundaritanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Surito Pangur Mamamanda Matirgati Mat Sarvas Sva Padambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano. So this verse is a continuation of the last couple verses. It starts off with the knot in the heart. So there's many subjects to be covered in this verse. What the knot is, what it is in the heart, the idea that it's pierced, and the result of that is the misgivings are cut to pieces. And what else? The chain of fruit of action is terminated when one sees the self and master, or as master, depending which edition you're reading. So if we go back just a couple verses to 15, we're on 21 now. 15, it says, with sword in hand, an intelligent man cuts through the binding knot. So we have knots again, and of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to this message? Pay attention. Okay. Thank you. So I thought that a couple of the points would be, we would start off with, is this is kind of a highly technical subject. So we'll break down a couple of the words first. Like 8.3 Bhagavad Gita, gives us the words that are being used. That's loose. So in 8.3, Krishna was asked by Arjuna, in 8.2, but 8.3 says, well, 8.1 was, Arjuna inquired, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What is fruit of activities? What is this material manifestation? What are the demigods? Kindly explain this to me. So in today's verse, it's asking, it says that not in the heart is pierced. So we're going to talk about that ahankar and the chain of fruit of actions. So this chain of fruit of actions, what does Krishna say about that and the self? It says, because here it says, when one sees the self, so he has to see the self. So it's good to know what Krishna says the self is, and also what fruit of activities are. So that way we know what's being discussed here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said the indestructible, transcendental, living entity is called Brahman. So we know we have Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Also, Brahman is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, that sometimes the total material substance is called Brahman. But basically, it's the non-dual substance that everything is made of. When it's made of, we say everything is Krishna. So in one sense, everything is Krishna, but it's his energy. So there's Brahman energy. But yet, here in this chapter, we're going through Brahman Paramatma, which is today, and Bhagavan is coming, where we're understanding that it's not working, how it's working. Super soul is how everything is working. So here it says, the eternal nature is called the self. So what's our eternal nature? Service. So we have service, and we have service to two, to Krishna. That's we're eternal servants of Krishna. So we have our choice, which is which energy to serve. Until one is liberated by coming in contact with a pure devotee, he really doesn't have a choice. We know from Bhagavad Gita 3.5, every living entity is forced to act helplessly by the modes born of his nature. The living entity, we're embodied and we're forced to act according to the body we're in. So he really doesn't have a choice. But then in this verse, we'll just get back to that point. Action pertaining to the development of material bodies of the living entity is called karma, or fruit of activities. So we have the eternal nature is of our service to Krishna is called the self. And the material activities, when you engage in activities that will produce a body, that's called karma, or fruit of activities. And in today's verse, it's specifically mentioned that the knot, where's the knot situated? Where is that knot? That knot's in the heart. So that's a very interesting observation, that the knot is in the heart. Because that's another one of the words that when you read this verse, every word is so significant. So this verse is explaining how we're actually free from karma. When does that happen? Like we heard, I think it was yesterday, the day before, Maharaj was explaining that, is it when the grains go into the fire, that all the reactions are transferred from the disciple to the guru? He was mentioning it kind of in jest. So the idea is here, today's verse is saying when that happens, right? This is what it's saying. It says, the chain of fruit of actions is terminated. when one sees self and master. So in the Bhagavad Gita, because this is highly technical and a philosophical language, sometimes we wonder, how am I ever going to understand this? You know, myself, there's a lot of philosophy. So Krishna explains in the chapter 13, text 26, again, there are those who are not conversant with spiritual knowledge. Begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend birth and death. So I've often thought of this verse pertaining to me and most of us, that without so much knowledge, we do service, and we hear, like regularly, we're hearing Bhagavatam, and we know that by hearing Bhagavatam that we're being purified. And there's a verse that I was going to say, I have to pull it out of my pocket, I didn't print it out, which is 1:5:15. Let's see. All right. And let's see. 1:5:15. I'll see if this is. Nope, wasn't 15. I forgot. I got it in another place. I try to remember the numbers. It seems to work good. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. 1:5:35. I got it written down. Remember means to remember to write it down. That's what Prabhupada said. 1:5:35. So this verse is, whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga. So we're learning from the Bhagavad Gita that second chapter is that we're spirit soul. We're different from the body. We're eternal. We can't be cut. We can't be withered. Nothing can finish off the spirit soul. But in the third chapter, is, well, what do you do with this? And he says, well, if you don't want to lead a life in vain, you're going to have to lead a life of sacrifice. So, sacrifice, new word. What? Okay, so then, so many different types of sacrifice. So then in the fourth chapter, it says that you're going to have to approach a spiritual master, and he'll give you the correct sacrifice. And the fourth chapter, so what's the sacrifice? The next verse right after 34, 35, he says, is that every living entity belongs to Krishna. So what this is doing, this is cracking the false ego. Here, I was trying to see if it's common knowledge. They have this word integrity in also mechanics, not just in psychology, but in mechanics, integrity means like a whole structure. They give the example of an egg, a raw egg. It's very easy to crack an egg, but they say if you maintain the integrity of the whole shell, it'll hold a ton if it's supported. The whole egg, it won't collapse as long as the integrity of the shell is there. But once it gets a crack in it, it has no strength at all. So the false ego is very, very obstinate and powerful to keep us in illusion. But if it gets a little crack in it, a little humility, a little hearing, then all the knowledge starts pouring in and we get to see the real picture. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent. So here it says, whatever work is done here for the satisfaction, That's sacrifice. Of the mission of the Lord is called Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service of the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So in this verse, it's talking about free from karma, but that's not a goal. That's a byproduct. That's just something that happens along the line. This is something that's happening. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in his commentary on this verse, that this is something that's taking place as you're becoming more and more concerned about Krishna. I was listening to the tape where Prabhupada was explaining that who's concerned about Krishna? So generally people aren't concerned about Krishna, but we know in the spiritual world, Radharani is very concerned about Krishna. The spiritual master is concerned about Krishna, and he teaches us. So as our development, as we're thinking about our relationship with Krishna, our heart starts to change. And I have this one, I was in a class the other day, and I thought this was so nice, I was going to share it with everyone, that there's a verse, Ado Shraddha Sadasanga Bhajana Kriya Narta Nivritti, the different stages that one goes through when he's becoming from ignorance to prema. And one of the things that happens quite often with us is how we deal with material desire. I don't know if anybody has that situation. We have to deal with material desire. But this nice devotee, he's in Potomac, Giri Govardhan, he explained it like this. He said, in the unsteady stage, we sometimes resist and sometimes succumb to desire. So that's the unsteady stage. And then when you get to the steady stage, at the stage of steadiness, we will be tempted, but we'll have clarity of intelligence to resist the temptation, being clear that it is harmful, and one's devotion is much more important. So it changes as we get a little bit of that nishta, that we're fixed, but yet it still comes, because we know Bhagavad Gita, it says as long as one's has a material body, the desires from the senses will continue. So we're all going to deal with this, and at different stages, it appears differently. And then he goes, in the fourth stage of ruchi, the reaction is given according to the fourth verse of the Shikshastakam, Najanam Najanam Nasundari. I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want it. I just want pure devotional service. And in the higher levels, it may be distasteful, like Jamunacharya, he spits at the thought of sex life. Or even higher levels, the notion of sense gratification is not even intelligible. So I thought that was nice, because we're all having these different inclinations pop back into the mind, and they're stronger or not so strong. So this I thought was very useful. And in today's verse, it says, when one sees the self as master or and the master, who's the one that's seeing that? That's an interesting point to look at. Who's the one that's seeing the self? And sometimes in other translations of this, it's a capital S. Sometimes a small s, sometimes a capital S. So they're meant to have some dialogue on this one point. And the way that it came to me was, just like in the living entity, he's struggling hard with the senses, including the mind. So as he becomes Krishna conscious, he understands that the material energy and the spiritual energy, just like we know in Atatmavit Mahabhoho 328, that the living the tattva vit, the knower, the truth, he knows the difference between fruit of activities and devotional service. So that light of being able to tell those two things, that's called knowledge. What is matter? What is spirit? And the controller of both. So we see that these are activities that when one wants to forget Krishna, Krishna 15:15, he allows him this forgetfulness. But now that we've been come in contact with the pure devotee and we understand the tattva, because the spiritual master, he's seen the truth and he can give us the truth. What's that? Krishna say, Kumar, that the spiritual master, he has Krishna and he can give him to us. So we're simply requesting the spiritual master's mercy, and he gives us that ability to see the difference between matter and spirit. But that's not an ordinary thing. Just like I was mentioning earlier, everybody knows water has a formula, H2O, right? Everybody, they call water H2O. So if I give you some hydrogen and some oxygen, can you make water? No. Nobody in here could do it. It's a very complicated process. So even though we know what it is, we can't do it. So this process, this that we're following, is sadhana bhakti, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, favorably, anukulena. This is a process that's acting like a catalyst. We're separating the soul from material energy by a process, and this process of sadhana, of remembering Krishna. But the knowledge by itself won't do it. It has to be applied. And that application, as we're applying it, is taking place within the heart. We know that there's 10 offenses we're trying to avoid, and we're hearing more and more about Krishna. And as our relationship with Krishna, as we surrender to Krishna, he rewards accordingly, we're surrendering in the process of bhakti yoga. So we're coming to understand his personality, and by seeing Krishna, here we're also seeing ourselves. It says when one sees the sun, he also can see himself. In the darkness, he can't see the sun or himself. So he sees Krishna. We're seeing Krishna just like Prabhupada gave the example. It's kind of humorous. He says you don't only see with your eyes, you see with all of your senses. So he gave the example that these two men were talking about this bakery. And he says this bakery has just the best products in it. They're really good. So the other person says, well, I'll have to go and see for myself. So when he went to the bakery, do you think he just looked at the products to see for himself? He said, no, seeing meant tasting. It meant experiencing what it is. So he saw through his tongue. That's how he understands. So we also have that terminology. When someone is explaining something to us, we say, oh, I see. So we see through our understanding, and that's also the knowledge that's concomitant with devotional service, because we're understanding that the only satisfaction there is for the soul is when it's in relationship with Krishna. The rest is simply the illusion. And the bubbles pop, that was the example I was using for the knot in the heart is pierced. So we've actually, at this stage, because this isn't the final stage, this is intermediate stage right here. We're talking about the byproduct of hearing from the pure devotees, following the process, how we're dealing with material desires, because these material desires, they're situated in the heart. So certainly that heart is steel frame, that in spite of hearing, chanting, experiencing different types of ecstasy, it still doesn't. Actually, there's two translate. That verse is used two different ways. One way it's used that those the ecstasy that takes place in the heart won't happen because we're making offenses. Certainly at heart still frame that, so it won't experience the ecstasies. However, another way that same verse is applied is that you get the ecstasy before your heart changes. Like, for instance, my case, there's, Prabhupada would say, chant, dance, and ecstasy. So all of us have experienced wonderful kirtans, wonderful chanting of the holy name, but still my heart isn't completely purified, because what does Krishna say? When you've thus learned the truth, you know that all beings are in me and are mine. They belong to, that's Krishna's property. They're not for us for sense gratification. In the mode of passion, we think the body is for sense gratification. We think that everything's for sense gratification. It's called Agya Rudi Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says that for a materialist, every sound, every word means sense gratification. But for the Lord Chaitanya, when he was in ecstasy, he says every letter, every word means Krishna. So those are the two different choices that we have. All right. So I'm going to try to summarize this, just like we know that... I was going to quote Majjha 22:119, which is a verse from the Bhagavatam, but it's translated differently, where it mentions the Abhayam, that this fear comes from seeing things separate from Krishna, and because of that, we become Krishna's competitor. And now that we're understanding the real position of Krishna, that competitiveness can go away. Just like we know from 5:29 that Krishna is the enjoyer of sacrifice. So when we care about Krishna, then we want to do things to please him. So we know that sacrifice pleases him. He's the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam. So, like, for instance, for our procedure, for our process, is chanting the holy name. So when we chant, that's to please Krishna. So that's the sacrifice that we perform. And ultimately, we're doing it for his enjoyment, Prabhupada's enjoyment, the whole mood of enjoyment. And that's the... Because here it's talking about the knot in the heart. So this knot, a knot's a hard, cold object that are trying to communicate with us, that there's something in our heart that's hard towards Krishna. It's not soft-hearted, it's hard-hearted. And everybody knows what hard-hearted is like. You know, they're just not nice. So we're not thoughtful about Krishna. So by remembering Krishna and his qualities, wanting to please Krishna, the heart starts to soften so that knot gets loosened. So I'm going to stop there, and we'll take some questions or comments if there are any. I woke up last night at 12:30. I didn't fall back to sleep. So I'm noticing a difference in the mental acuity. I don't know if it ever happens to anybody else. But anyway. Yes, sir.
As the wheel of time turns, so mortals revolve.
Could you say that again? I couldn't understand you.
As the wheel of time turns,
the wheel of time turns,
so mortals revolve.
Could you say that again? I'm in trouble with
so
that.
So mortal. Mortals being
mortals. Okay.
Mortals. As the wheel of time turns, so mortals revolve. One time on earth, another time in hell. Held strongly by the noose of karma.
By the noose?
Noose of karma. So karma is being referred to as the noose of karma. Like
that.
You have, you're right. And so here we're talking about the knot in the heart. And then we're talking about the noose. So is there some relationship there?
Yeah, that's a nice point. Thank you. I need a little time to think. Like we were discussing, how this works is when one accepts the spiritual master, and the spiritual master, he gives them a choice. He didn't have a choice how to not perform karma before. He always was being forced by the waves of being tossed in the waves of the material nature. So now he's given the choice of not performing fruitive activities. He has another set of engagements. And in these set of engagements, he's now free from that noose. So he's liberated as long as he follows the instructions of the spiritual master. Because before that time, we just have a mind. And the mind is giving us desires one after another for sense gratification. And our identity is mixed in with that, that we're this body. But the spiritual master, he tells us, you're not this body. He's Krishna's representative. And that you can perform activities that do not produce another material result, yasya prasada, bhagava prasada. But if you engage in activities to please the spiritual master, who's Krishna's representative, non-different, then those activities don't produce another material effect, and he's free from the result and actions. And just like it mentions here, all misgivings are cut to pieces, all his doubts are removed by a submissive hearing and discussing with the spiritual master. So in that sense, we can also tell you're free as long as you don't fall away from his instructions. So just like we mentioned, to pay attention, that it's very important to pay attention. But what's the currency for paying attention? I was thinking of the verse 1344. It says, I heard this with rapt attention. Sutta Goswami, he heard from Sukadeva Goswami. And Prabhupada points out in the purport, in order to have rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. And then in order to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in his eating, sleeping, mating, defending. He has to follow the regulator principles. So by following these regulator principles, then he can pay attention. So we see how Prabhupada understood and conveys to us that this hearing process, stay in whatever position you're in at 10:14:3, but just hear, dedicate your lives to these narrations that are spoken by the pure devotees. And then Krishna, he becomes conquered by this, ajita jito. So this is the process of hearing. So we can hear properly, we follow these regulator principles. Everything has a utility. Utility is the principle. So everything that we do, our sadhana, it's all engineered sadhana for us to come through these different stages. So when material desires enter into the mind, we can see how to react to them properly. If our sadhana slackens, and we can use sadhana in different ways. We can use the idea of sadhana is satya, that this is the procedure for obtaining the goal. And the goal is Krishna prema. So this is engineered, but the principle is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And those activities, we've tried to remember Krishna, at least once in a while I try to remember Krishna with affection. You know, that Krishna has affection for you. We have affection for Krishna, but it's not stable. So when we try to remember Krishna, other thoughts, maybe just me, but I think probably not, probably everybody. When we try to chant japa, sometimes we get just all these jackrabbit thoughts come into the mind and go out. And how we're dealing with that, because just to remember Krishna, it says always remember Krishna. So is that, well, of course it means regularly at our stage, Nitya Bhagavata Seva. That says that the spiritual master can't give you an order that you can't do. So it actually meant that we're regulatedly remembering Krishna. Like, hopefully, I was trying to present the class in such a way that we could remember Krishna and our relationship with Krishna and this fruit of activities, this knot in the heart, is the forgetfulness of Krishna, the willful forgetting Krishna. Or it's subtle. Sometimes it's said it's causeless. Why we ever want to forget Krishna? But we do. It's not something that we did. It's something we're doing right now. Maybe a little later. And the class will be over in a minute. And then we'll have our days. And try to remember Krishna. How much is it pure devotional service? And how much is still tinged with the bodily conception of life? It's a switch that goes back and forth. In the mode of goodness, it says it's predominated by goodness, the Brahman, but it's still the mode of passion, and ignorance is there. And if you observe, sometimes you can have that clarity of observing the mind and think, well, that's a mode of passion. That's a whole mode of passion. Doesn't come just with a simple thought. It brings with it a whole package. It's the package of the bodily conception of life. You're the enjoyer, I'm this body. It comes with a whole package, and you just accept it. Just like in a dream. I had a dream the other day. I was flying along nice and high in the sky, looking at everything going by, and I never questioned it. I guess I didn't think, this is a little unusual, you know, that I'm flying around in the sky. So we just accept things right away, and when the mode of passion comes in, we just accept it. Yeah, okay, I'm the enjoyer. So that's where this thing that I read in the different stages, an unsteady stage, so this is before Nishtha is achieved. Sometimes we resist, and sometimes we succumb to it, and then we feel bad. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. Nowadays, there's devotees that have gone away and come back. I talked to this one devotee. He went away for 30 years. And he came back, and when he came back, he started just where he left off. No loss or diminution. So it's just amazing how it is that you just come right back. And then at the stage of steadiness, when we're tempted, the mind has clarity of intelligence to resist the temptation, and it preaches a little bit. It'll say, I know I once was discussing with Krishna Kripa, the Brahmachari 270, about the incessant flow of desires that are entering like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but still in himself. He alone achieves peace, not the person who tries to satisfy him. And he said, he says to his mind, been there, done that. And that's all that he has to say, and that's sufficient. So we have different ways that we deal with these points. And this is something that it's good to discuss with each other and develop these points, because it's not that it goes away right away. That's a whole nother subject in the Madhurya Kandambini of the four roots. You know what the roots of the anarthas are? One of them is happiness. The fruit of your pious activities, when you get material happiness, if you can get distracted by that, and it causes all kinds of reactions. So that's an anartha. And just like happiness is a distraction, what's the other side of that? Distress is a distraction. So as our knowledge increases in Krishna consciousness, as our devotion increases and that concomitant factor of knowledge comes, we see it automatically, just like if someone's doing a service but they don't feel so good, like it's sometimes hard to wake up in the morning. Anybody else have that experience? But if you have a service that you have to do at the temple, you make it there. So how, most of the time. So that service gives you the strength to overcome the tendency that's in the mind. So like that, that's one of the nice features about doing service. Okay, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. There's an interesting verse. Of course, all the verses are interesting in Bhagavad Gita. Yes. But in terms of this topic, in chapter 3, verse 40, Indriyani mano buddhir asya dishanam uchite etera vimoha gatyesha gyanama dehina. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence of the sitting place of this lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that one should know, Krishna is giving some hints where this enemy lust is being hidden. And he starts out with explaining that the mind is the center of all the activities of the senses. And the senses, by hearing about sense gratification, then the mind and the senses become repositories of all kinds of lust. So hearing is the root cause of our liberation, and it's the root cause of our entanglement. And then Prabhupada says, next, the intelligence becomes the capital of all lusty propensities. That lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to identify itself with, to acquire false ego. Oh, actually, before that he says that intelligence is the next door neighbor of the spirit soul. Lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire a false ego and thus identify itself with matter. So the whole secret is to hear.
How does it go from there to thus knowing oneself to be transcendental?
Material senses, mind, and intelligence.
There must be something in between those two. Yeah.
Well, there's a verse in between those two.
Oh.
Couple of
So how does it transition it? Because the intelligence is right now, we're left with, this is where we're at.
Well, Krishna says, Tasma tvam indriyanyado niyamya bhavartarshava papmanam prajihiyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, Arjuna, regulate the mind and the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. In other words, everything is buddhi. We're doing buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means that we engage with our intelligence, the mind and senses in Krishna's service, and therefore we come in contact with Krishna. So by hearing from Krishna and his representatives how to engage the senses and the mind in Krishna's service, we're actually conquering this insatiable enemy known as lust. And Krishna says, Indriyani, Manobudir, Indriyani Pramnya, Hur Indriyani Manobu, Indriyani Param, Indriyani Param Yahur, Indriyani Param Brahu. What's the next one? Indriyami Paramanak, Param Budir, Yobude Paratastu Saha. That the senses are superior to dull matter, mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than intelligence. So everything depends on the soul being willing to hear from Krishna or from his representatives to find out how to utilize his mind and senses. So that's intelligence. And Krishna, hearing is cultivates our intelligence, either material intelligence or spiritual intelligence. So when we hear from Krishna and his representatives how to engage our senses and mind in his service, we're willing to do that. And we do that, or as much as we do that, to that extent, we actually come in contact with Krishna. Krishna reveals himself.
So that takes the root out by contacting Krishna with our senses.
By hearing.
Hearing,
from you, Sena Pritha. How by practicing yoga and full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. The hearing is the basis of either entanglement or liberation.
That verse sounds familiar.
What's that?
That one you just said.
Yes, 7-1.
That was the one you used last night.
7-1. No, I didn't use that last night. But that's 7-1.
Oh.
That's the verse I probably gave class on more than any other verse in the Bhagavad Gita. No. Was that? You do my ashram. Some sham some gram gas is detached, you know. Oh, here from yeah.
So yeah, you can say it so all of us can hear it, and then give the microphone back and forth. Thank you.
Is that probably what I said?
Put the microphone.
Because sometimes there's a lot of controversy going on in ISKCON, there's problems, there's so many things. The problems, no. In the ISKCON that I live in, at least. there are different ISKCONs. Anyhow, in the ISKCON, so Prabhupada said that if you light a match in the dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. So if we actually give, in the right way, the right information, then that will have its effect, even if the understanding is not there at first. So we don't have to worry about everything else going on because that's not within our sphere of influence or within our sphere of concern. Our sphere of influence is to realize Krishna for ourselves, and as much as we realize Krishna for ourselves, as much as we realize, then the sound vibration that we give will actually help others realize Krishna too. So rather than trying to change everything outside, if we try to work on ourselves inside, then Krishna will empower us as an instrument to change things on the outside by giving the right sound vibration.
That Bhaktisiddhanta had a similar statement, that before you see the faults in others, you see the faults in yourself.
So my question is just to, I mean, I have some idea, I want to clarify more of that. One hand, Rupa Goswami Pad is saying, Kriti Shaddha Bhavat Shaddha, Bhava Shashadana Vida Nitya Siddhesha Bhavasya. This love, that devotion is eternally there. Similar, yes. But the other side, Anarpita Charim Chira, never given. That devotion is never given. It's the first time given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's main contribution. It says Anarpita Charim Chira. What about the purport of the Kamalesha Pradesha Rajatguna Samadbhava, that Prabhupada translated that when the pure love comes in contact with the modes of passion, it transforms love. So my question is that so the pure love is always there?
Of course it is. Krishna is always there. Love is always there.
Then why do we say we need...
Hand him the microphone.
Why do we need say devotion?
Well, devotion is there, otherwise Krishna is always there. We can't do anything without Krishna, so we're eternally with Krishna. There's no question of not being with Krishna. That's not possible. Krishna is everywhere. If we're eternal, then we're eternally with Krishna. But as far as our love, yeah, our love is there too. And we still love Krishna, but we just love him in a different form, that's all. We're loving the part of his universal form. So love for Krishna is always there. We're always serving Krishna. We can't do but... We can't help, we can't do anything but serve Krishna. But we just love his energy right now. That's all. Well, those are the Bhakti Lata Beach, as Prabhupada explains, is the rules and regulations that the Krishna and his representatives give, by following which our love is completely manifested. Prabhupada, the Dumena Vriyate Vadira. Dumena vriyate itardar shamalena cha tita karde matas tarvas tatanema avritam. Like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by the dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So in the human form of life, there's some fire of love for Krishna there, and it's carefully handled, then it starts blazing. So it's a question of Krishna, you know, it's always there, but when we, in the human form of life, when we hear Krishna, then we can take better advantage of it and actually come in contact with Krishna. And our natural love for Krishna will fully manifest itself. Otherwise, why does Krishna say, yayatamam prapajante, that even in one sense, even the amoeba is loving Krishna through his energies. So, but when we come to the human form of life, we can act in such a way as he actually Krishna will be, he'll desire, will be willing to reveal himself to us. And as much as he reveals himself, then our love manifests itself again. Krishna is all attractive. As much as he reveals himself to us, then our attraction for him develops. And as much as that's simply dependent on our desire. That desire is cultivated in the association of serving devotees. By hearing from them and following their instructions and example, then Krishna feels obliged to reveal himself and our love for him develops.
So the conclusion is that it's eternally here to wake up.
Could you hand him the microphone so it goes back and forth? You have to put it next to your mouth so as to hear.
It is eternally there, that love, but to wake up or to awaken, they require Bhakti Lata, in a sense, a guru's help to follow this rules regulation. But it will not come out something which is not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not. The fire is there of love for Krishna, is always there. And it's a question, everyone is giving its instructions. Either they're giving us instructions how to go deeper into the mode of ignorance, or into the mode of passion, or into the mode of goodness. Everyone's giving instructions, and we follow them, and we get the result. We get covered in the different modes of nature. Or someone may give us instructions how to actually come in contact with Krishna directly. So one is Krishna through his energies, the other is Krishna directly. So it depends on what we follow. If we follow the ones that bring us into the modes of nature, then naham prakrishya sarvasha, and Krishna kindly covers us. So we're not aware of him. And when we desire to come in contact with Krishna through following the instructions of his representatives and him, then Krishna uncovers us and we become conscious of him again. And in proportion to our consciousness of him, then our love for him manifests itself, either through his energies or directly to him.
Got one more question in the back there.
I don't know that I have a question, but I'm curious if I may share like a comment or maybe where I'm at in this process, because I've found that sometimes hearing my own voice about, like, kind of going through where I'm at sometimes can be illuminating for me, and I'd be hopeful that it may also be beneficial to others in some way. I'm curious. Would that be okay?
You're saying that you have some realizations right now from Krishna consciousness, and to share them with others, is that okay to do?
Yeah, in this format at this time. I'm not...
Depending on what it is, but generally speaking, that's what we're to do. We speak from our realizations. Everybody, we're all spirit souls. We come in contact with this process and things start to change. And when there's guru, shastra, and sadhu, we always confirm what we're experiencing, if it's Krishna consciousness or if it's a trick of Maya. So we discuss it with others, either individually or in a group form like this. This particular form is supposed to be related to the verse, the Srimad Bhagavatam verse that we're on today.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess through hearing in this class, what has been occurring to me is how I often find myself wondering, like, what is it that I should be doing in my life? And I find that I'm often thinking about, like, my main concern seems to be about how I can earn money. And
what would you want to earn money for? Is that just for having a place to live, or earning money so you could buy things for what you would like? There's different things, but the first part of your statement is that's generally how people become devotees, is they understand that there isn't anything better to do, that the disturbance in the mind is one of for an ultimate goal. So when you see what the goal is, then you want to maximize the short period of time that we have in this body. We don't know how. Prabhupada was asked once, he says, I thought most people take the spiritual life when they're old. Most of your disciples are young. So Prabhupada asked him, he says, what's the definition of old? Someone who could die at any time. So we don't know how much longer we have to live. So in one sense, we're all old. So there's an urgency of not losing the opportunity that we've gotten now by coming in contact with devotees. So we try to maximize that according to our degree of faith and development.
Thank you.
All right. Is that all right? Then thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.